This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Today we'll be thinking about the story of the rich young ruler from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Let's listen first to a classic song here from the film Fiddler on the Roof. A poor milkman called Tevye dreams of being rich. In this song he reflects on all that he might achieve and all that would come his way should his dreams come true. He would have the respect of his peers, provision for his family, rest from his toil, comfort and contentment. But it's not to be. But in many other ways he is the richest man in the village. He has his wife, his daughters, his simple home, his humour, his love, and his traditions. This is If I Were a Rich Man.
If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I bidi-bidi-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a bitty, bitty rich, idle, diddle, diddle, diddle man, I'd build a big, tall house with the rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with the real wooden floors below. There would be one long staircase just going up, and one even longer coming down, and one more leading nowhere just for show. I'd fill my yard with the chicks and turkeys and geese and ducks for the town to see and hear, squawking just as noisily as they can. And each lovely will land like a trumpet on the ear, as if to say, here lives a wealthy man. If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I biddy-biddy-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. If I were a biddy-biddy-rich, idle-diddle-diddle-diddle-man, I'd see my wife, my golden, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin, supervising meals to her heart's delight. I see her putting on airs and strutting like a peacock. Oh, what a happy mood she's in, screaming at the servants day and night. The most important man in town will come to fawn on me. They will ask me to advise them like a Solomon the Wise. If you please, Rebbe Tevye, pardon me, Rebbe Tevye, posing problems that would cross a rabbi's eyes. And it won't make one bit of difference if I answer right or wrong. When you're rich, they think you really know. If I were rich, I'd have the time that I like to sit in the synagogue and pray, and maybe have a seat by the eastern wall, and I discuss the holy books with the learned men 7 hours every day,
And that would be the sweetest thing of all. If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I bitty-bitty-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan? If I were a wealthy man.
Did you hear there Tevier say what would be the sweetest thing of all if it came true for him? It was to sit in the synagogue and pray, and to be able to discuss the holy books with the elders. It's easy to really warm to his character. He's like any other normal person wanting to better himself. We also see that he has a heart that longs to be close to God. But we know from the testimony of people who've won big prizes in today's world, to become wealthy does not always bring true and lasting happiness. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. But the same scriptures testify that it's not wrong to enjoy life, to provide for one's family, or to invest. Jesus is not so much concerned with our wealth, but with our hearts. However, our Bible story today is all about a young rich man's response to Jesus and to his suggestion of becoming poor. Here is the reading from Mark 10, beginning to read at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." This fine young man is rather like some person from today's top 10 richest people of the world list, and he approaches Jesus wanting to know about eternal life and how to get it. Perhaps it's the one thing he's realised that he can't buy. He's very well off. He seems to come from a good background. He obviously has the right social standing in the community. He's a clean living lad. He's kept all the commandments. He thinks his CV is impeccable for entry into the kingdom of God. It seems that all is well with his soul, and he's right on course to be first in the queue. Here's a favourite song of mine at the moment called "It Is Well With My Soul."
Scars are a sign of grace in our lives, and Father, how you brought us through. When deep were the wounds and dark was the night, the promise of your love you proved. Now every battle still to come, let this be our song. It is well sleeping may come, remain for a night, but joy will paint the morning sky. You're there in the fast, you're there in the feast, your faithfulness will always shine. Now every blessing still to come, let this be our song. It is well.
It's easy to sing All Is Well With My Soul and be proud of one's achievements and full of what we've done and filled with praise for God's blessings, yet still be blind to a glaring fault within us that needs addressing, which is the case in this young man's life. Jesus perceives what it is and tells him there is one thing that he lacks. Up until now, the lad has kept all the commandments. You shall not murder, not done that. You shall not commit adultery, certainly not. You shall not steal, haven't done that either. You shall not give false testimony, wouldn't do that. You shall not defraud, I'm honest as they come. Honour your father and mother, goes without saying. He's never done anything wrong. He's just too good to be true. This reminds me of a cartoon I once saw where two young lads were challenging one another to see who could tell the biggest lie. They had a prize, the winner got a bag of sweets. Along came a policeman who'd overheard their conversation, and he gave them a long lecture on the virtues of telling the truth. "Of course, when I was a young lad," the officer said, "I did what was right. In fact, I've never done anything wrong in my entire life." The young lads looked up at him, gave him the prize, and walked away. So what does this young man in the story lack? These commandments I've just mentioned come to us in the negative sense. You shall not. But what about the positive ones? Ones that come with the words, you shall. Be generous. Sell your possessions. Give to the poor. Think of the needs of others. The rich young ruler's mind was more on himself and his riches than on God. He may have done nothing wrong, but what had he done right? Here's a song by the Iona Community. Will you come and follow me?
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare? Should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Will you let the blinded see if I but call your name? Will you set the prisoners free and never be the same? Will you kiss the leper clean? as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me.
The rich young man had opened the conversation with flattery. He had fallen to his knees before Jesus, desperate for his attention, and soon everyone's eyes were on him. He presented himself to Jesus in glowing terms, and it says here that Jesus looked at him and loved him, as he does us all. But it's also possible that there was a real void, a God-shaped void in this young man's life that needed filling. Regardless of the outcome or the young lad's response to his question, Jesus loved him. But now comes the hard part, the challenge that Jesus made, the part the lad can't swallow. Jesus says, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the young man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Did Jesus call all of his followers to do the same, to give everything away? Apparently not. Some were in a position to give of their resources to provide. Certain followers, mostly women, supplied Jesus and his disciples with food for their journeying. A rich believer, Joseph of Arimathea, was able to provide Jesus with a tomb. Zacchaeus gave away half of what he owned. And even though many in the early church gave lands and possessions to a common purse, some had families to provide for. Some believers gave a tenth. Paul was a tent maker and made his living to fund his ministry. What was important, though, was that they gave of themselves, their gifts, their possessions, their time, their talents, and they gave generously to all in need. They took up the challenge to take up their crosses and follow Jesus' example, surrendering their own lives to him. In 2 Corinthians 8 we are told, though he, Jesus, was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Here's a beautiful song, again by Matt Redman, called No Longer I.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now no longer I, but Christ in me. I will run to the cross where you opened up my eyes. I will sing of the love that saved me. I will bow in the place where your death became my life. I will run, I will run to the cross. Oh, how endless the hope. Oh, how empty the grave. And the joy of a stone rolled away. It is there by grace I am raised to life. Now no longer I, but Christ in me. I will run to the cross where you opened up my eyes. I will sing of the love that saved me. I will bow in the place where your death became my life. I will run to the cross. Yes, I will run, I will run to the cross.
Was Jesus calling the rich young ruler to the same kind of discipleship as that of his inner circle of disciples, who eventually followed him all the way to the cross, and who themselves later died horrific deaths under persecution, with the exception of John? Did Jesus recognise that this young man would not have had the heart to walk the road of suffering and sacrifice, as many do throughout the world? So what does Jesus expect of us as his followers today? Many people were deeply upset when they first watched the film Schindler's List, a story of how one wealthy industrialist, Oskar Schindler, saved many Jews from the death camps. But one part in particular was very moving, and it reminds me of our next song. It's the part where the Schindler Jews are saying their farewells to Oskar at the end of the war, and he is broken-hearted that he did not do more to save just one more life. There was his car that could have been sold, his watch, his cufflinks. With a little bit more, what could he have achieved? The same can be asked of us today. What could we achieve by offering a little bit more? Here is local singer John Wrightson singing a song with a little bit more from his album, Here We Go Boys.
With a little bit more, we could have changed the world. With a little bit more, we could have fed them all. With a little bit more, we could have made it all worthwhile. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. With a little bit more, we could have saved more lives. With a little bit more, so many could survive. With a little bit more, we could have turned things upside down. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. Countries of the world, don't turn your heads away. You have to face reality, no time for more delay. You read it in the papers, on the news, suffering in the anguish they go through. With a little bit more, we could have changed the world. With a little bit more, we could have fed them all. With a little bit more, we could have made it all worthwhile. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. With a little bit more, we could have saved more lives. With a little bit more, so many could survive. With a little bit more, we could have turned things upside down. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. On the plains of Africa, they're dropping dead like flies, while politicians ponder over money they rely. Conference after conference, meetings and debate, until they make their minds up they must wait. With a little bit more, we could have changed the world. With a little bit more, we could have...
So how then should we give? Each must decide what it is in their hearts to give. When you give, says Scripture, not if you give, do it unseen, not for show, but secretly. Our giving should be the result of overflowing love and kindness of heart, a joy and a delight. When we give, we invest in others and they gain. We're also relieved of worry about money. We learn to trust in God to provide. Our characters change for the better. And we have the joy of perhaps seeing those helped as a result of our gift. Let us pray to be among those whose hearts are truly compassionate and whose love can be seen in action without any form of reward or recognition. Here's a song by Hillsong. Everyone needs compassion.
Well, everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. But let mercy fall on me. Well, everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of a nation.
I read in a newspaper recently a letter which said, "Our affluence in the West, when set alongside the desperate poverty of our world, is inexcusable. Its materialism, superficiality, and selfishness is an affront to God." Are we like that rich young man, content that all seems well within us, little realizing the poverty of our souls? Many people do give generously today, regularly donating money, furniture, food, and clothes to those in need. But with so much unrest, violence, and persecution in the Middle East and parts of Africa, so much desperation and heartache is presenting itself right at our doorsteps, what little bit more is God asking of us right now? This is Sheila Hamill. Thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts with you today, and I'd like to thank Andrew Ridgwick for his technical expertise in bringing you this programme. I do hope you'll join us next week. May God bless you today and give you life in all its fullness. Bye for now.
Teach me to serve thee as thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wound, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and ask for no reward, save that of knowing that I do thy will.
Teach me to serve.